Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning to you. Happy October, October 1st. Now, this is a special Sunday in the life of the church. Today is what we call World Communion Sunday. And World Communion Sunday is a Sunday that where the church together recognizes that although we may have different names above our door, right, we all are a part of different franchises in a sense, that we are in ministry together. And we may have names like Methodist or Presbyterian or Baptist or Lutheran, that there is an understanding that Jesus is at the center of our celebrations. And because of that, we are in ministry together. And it also kicks off a recognition for us here at Concord that we are in mission to the world. If you haven't looked at it recently, I would invite you to go back and look at our missions wall, that missions area that we have outside of Bethany Hall. You know, take a look at where we have been. You know, Concord has been a church that has taken seriously this call of our Savior to go. And it has done exactly that. It has gone all over to many different places in the world. You know, Concord recognizes that the Great Commission is not the great suggestion, that we are called to take this call to go seriously. You know, who here has ever heard the phrase, make hay while the sun shines? Yeah, very common saying, but does anybody know where that saying came from? Anybody know where the saying, make hay while the sun shines, where it comes from? You guys can talk back, it's okay. Yeah, you may not know this, and I found out this week that it's been used in many different ways. I mean, it's been in lots of different writings over the years, but its origin is in the book of Proverbs, specifically Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5. And it says, "He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son." And you know, there are certain translations of the Bible where verses just sound better than others. You know, I don't often read or use the King James Version of the Bible, but whenever I'm reading the 23rd Psalm or even saying the 23rd Psalm, I will always translate it and put it into the King James because it just sounds right. There's something powerful and poetic about that. But this particular verse, when you read it from the Message translation, I think it really kind of clears things up a little bit better for us. And it says, make hay while the sun shines, that's smart. Go fishing during the harvest, that's stupid. You know, there are some of those passages in the Bible that are just very difficult to understand. And then there are passages like this, right? Just kind of simple, hits you right between the eyes. But the point is very clear, it's very easy to understand, that there is a time-bound need that's right in front of us. And doing nothing or doing something else is simply a waste of time. Harvests don't last forever. You know, crops eventually wither and die if they're not picked. I mean, wouldn't it be a complete waste of time to plant a garden, and then that's it? All those green beans and the lettuce and the spinach and the tomatoes and the green peppers, just watching them wither and die. Yeah, I wonder if this is what Jesus had in mind when he was traveling about, thinking about this spiritual harvest. And well, let's read our scripture this morning before we go too much further into this. And from Matthew chapter 9. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers into his harvest field." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, when Jesus encountered people along his travels, he didn't simply see people. Right? Jesus, when he encountered people, he felt them. That word compassion that's being used here, it means to feel deeply or viscerally, to yearn, to have compassion, to have pity. And when he encountered the people of the world, he felt it inside of himself. He knew their needs, he knew their worries and their concerns, and he felt it. And so the scripture tells us, you know, he went out and he taught the truth. He proclaimed and he healed as he traveled from one place to another. And we've been talking about what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God for the last 4 weeks, and what it means for us to be set apart as that people of the kingdom of God, and how the sons and daughters of God are called to do something greater than ourselves because of this recognition. You know, to be loyal to a kingdom larger and more important than we could be a part of here on earth. And Jesus taught this truth as he went around and he shared. And then Jesus also proclaimed the truth. He proclaimed this truth to all who would listen. And Jesus isn't some distant character that we are simply reading about in a book. When Jesus walked and traveled, I mean, he interacted with folks. He was close, so close that we could know what God was like, or they could know what God was like, because they were encountering Jesus. And Jesus would say to see him and to know him was to know the Father. And as Jesus went about, he also healed. You know, Jesus healed physically, like the blind man or the leper. You know, imagine that leper. Put yourself in his shoes, not having experienced the touch of another person for years and years. Imagine being that person when you were walking about on a street and you saw someone coming towards you, you having to cover your heads and shout out, "Unclean, unclean," so that people would know that you had to be avoided. And Jesus touched people like that because they needed to be touched. He healed them. And Jesus also healed emotionally. You know, that woman who was caught in the act of adultery. You know, imagine all of the condemnation she must have experienced for years and years. All the looks and the snide comments that were said about her and given to her. And Jesus looks at her and he says that he's not judging her, because Jesus was able to see past her behavior and invited her to become different. You know, that woman was healed emotionally because of the interactions with our Savior. And then Jesus also healed spiritually, like Zacchaeus. You know, Zacchaeus was someone who was a thief. He stole from his own people. He worked for the dreaded Roman occupiers. But when Zacchaeus encountered Jesus, Jesus didn't see that. And he invited himself over to Zacchaeus' house to have a dinner. And Zacchaeus was healed, because he was able to see his behavior as sinful, and he changed. And so when Jesus sees the multitudes and he's feeling it, and he knows what they need, he sees the physical needs, he sees the emotional needs, he sees the spiritual needs, and Scripture says he has compassion upon them because they are like sheep without a shepherd. They're harassed and helpless. Jesus looked to the people he encountered and saw this disorganized mass of humanity. He saw the effects of the legalistic approach of the Pharisaic leaders of the time. You know, the Pharisees, they, they wrapped up God with rules. They, you know, here's God, and they would just wrap up God with all of these rules so that you would never really truly encounter God. All you got was rules and rules and more rules. The Pharisees' guidance left victims. Their guidance left souls uncared for and crying out. Jesus saw this. He saw all of this, and he saw even more. He saw that they lacked a shepherd, and he felt the weight of their lostness. I remember a time when I was in grade school, and I couldn't have been much older than 9 or 10 years old at the time. And, you know, growing up in Erie, just lived 5 blocks away from my elementary school. And so I would walk to school and walk home. And yes, it was uphill both ways, in case you were wondering. But I do remember one time where I didn't go home after school. I went home with a friend rather than walking home like I normally did. Little did I know that the havoc that that choice was going to cause my family. I don't remember very much about that day except for when I got home. I don't remember why I walked to my friend's house and why I did that. I don't remember how I got home, if they eventually found out where I was at. I don't remember getting yelled at by my parents. You know, what I remember is the hug. I remember my mom and dad hugging me and really not fully understanding why this was all such a big deal. I came home all the time, and I didn't get this kind of, you know, reception every day. Why was this day different than the others? I mean, I understand it now that I have my own child to worry about and pray about. Parents, you understand this. You get this. So try to imagine how Jesus is feeling as he looks at the lostness of the people who he was encountering. You know, the harassed and helpless. Imagine the ache that Jesus must have felt for the seeing all of his children in this condition. You know, when I was lost, my parents sent out a search party. They told the neighbors, and there were a lot of people out looking for that lost child. And this is exactly what Jesus does. And he turns to his disciples and he says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field." You know, when Jesus saw the condition of his creation, he called for a search party. He looks at his disciples and says, "Don't you see? Don't you see it? They're dying without me. They're withering on the vine. I need you to help me to teach and to proclaim and to heal." Last week when we were looking at John chapter 17, Jesus' prayer there, and in that prayer, he prays for himself because he knows what's going to be happening very, very soon. And he prayed for his disciples that they would remain strong and connected throughout all the trials that they would be going through as well. And then Jesus prays for us. You know, he prays for our sanctification. He prays for our set apartness. And he prays for our unity. He prayed that we would remember our mission, because it is in our mission that we find our unity. World Communion Sunday is celebrated by all sorts of churches all over the world, big churches and small churches, churches of all denominations. You know, we celebrate that we can and we should work together to tell this world that there is a God above who loves them and who longs to be in a relationship with them. I mean, Jesus is not only asking his disciples to act, he is asking us to act as well. Jesus is saying to us, Concord, I want you to pray that the Lord would send workers out into the harvest field. And church, we need to make hay while the sun is shining. We need to remember that we exist to point people to Jesus. We exist to go into Riverside School District and point people to Jesus. We exist to go into Beaver Falls and point people to Jesus. We exist to go into our country and point people to Jesus. We exist to go into Honduras and Romania and Russia, the Dominican Republic, and tell them about Jesus. Jesus didn't say, the harvest is truly plentiful and the workers are few, but that's okay, because God can bless a few and make them accomplish as much as many. We are told to pray that the Lord would send out laborers. And when you read that in the Greek, it is a much more forceful command. It's that God would push them forward, that these laborers would be thrust out into the world. And church, this is a prayer. This is the prayer we must pray, but we can only pray it if we pray it with an ear open to God telling us, you go into the harvest. And may we pray this prayer with abandon, that Lord, you would send your workers out into the harvest field. You would send them to schools, you would send them to colleges and universities, you would send them into the military, you would send them into Congress, you would send them into businesses. Lord, here we are. Please use us. Use us as you see fit. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we are grateful for your love for us. And dear God, we pray that we would hear what you are saying. And give us the courage to pray that prayer, O God. That you would send your laborers out into the mission field. And Lord, give us a willingness that if you would ask us, whatever it might look like, that Jesus, we would go. We would be your harvesters. We would be the search party for those lost sons and daughters that your heart breaks for. Here we are, dear God. Please use us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, may God grant us a heart like his. May our heart break for the world like God's must. May our eyes see this world the same way that he sees them, as harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. May we join in with our Savior and pray for harvesters to go into this world. And may we yield ourselves to that call as well. That if God would call us, we would simply say, here I am, dear God, please use me as well. Thank you, O God, for your love for us. Thank you, O God, for your love for this world. That you love this world so much that you want none to perish, but for all to come to everlasting life. Well, again, dear God, we pray, here we are. Please use us. Use us as you will. It's in your name, O Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless the church. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday.